Have you ever found yourself trapped in the endless cycle of the shoulds? You know, those nagging thoughts that tell you that you should be doing better, how you should look, and who you should be? It's like having a not-so-helpful, naggy backseat driver in your head, right? But here's the kicker. Does listening to those shoulds actually even get you anywhere? Or do those shoulds just slow you down, leaving you feeling kind of guilty and stuck? In today's episode, we are diving headfirst into the murky waters of those shoulds swimming around in your head. We're going to explore why we are so afraid of trying and failing, and how we can start to break free from the guilt that those shoulds will bring us. Today, we're going to uncover the secrets to noticing and depersonalizing those should thoughts, and we're going to learn how to question them like a pro, or even like a hero. Plus, we're going to sprinkle in some wisdom from the voices that you respect, helping you see those shoulds in a whole new light. So, are you ready to shake off the shackles of the shoulds and choose your own path forward? Oh yeah, you are. Let's go.
Do you ever feel like you know all the diet rules about eat this, but not that, and so you know what to do, but you just have a hard time actually doing it? I'm here to tell you, you are not the problem. Hi, I'm Lizzie. Welcome to the Confident Body Podcast, where we talk about all the mental and emotional parts of weight loss that diets don't tell you. It's time to step past the shame and the guilt from old diets and stop feeling like you're waiting to lose weight in order to fully participate in life. If you're ready to drop the diet mindset and learn what it takes to truly feel happy and confident in your own skin, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome back. I am so glad and so grateful you are here today. Thank you so much for listening and for your time and your attention. It's a big deal. And so I appreciate you a lot. So let's dive in. I was talking to a client the other day and, as many things will come up in a session, but she was saying, you know, I just find myself with all these should thoughts all the time of like, I should get up off the couch, or I should go, you know, volunteer at my kid's school. I should be making more time to be present with my family. Or of course, there's other things like I should be eating more vegetables. I should be exercising. I should, you know, walk the dog more often, any of those kinds of things. And it was interesting because when she was talking about that, she realized that that voice of the shoulds was really prevalent and it was actually kind of really getting in their way. So let's talk about that. So here are some of the things that tend to come up for us. There's things like, I should be more productive. I should eat better. I should volunteer at my kid's school. I should make more time to be present with my family or my spouse, my partner. Here's a good one. I should be more grateful for my life. I should go for a walk. I should go to bed. I should be able to figure this out by now. And here's a really good one. I should know better. Ooh, that one kind of hurts. But that's not all. There's also the shouldn'ts. For example, I shouldn't complain. I shouldn't yell at my kids. That's definitely one I've used on myself. I shouldn't resent cooking dinner or driving my kids somewhere or resent anything at all. I shouldn't want to escape my feelings with food. I shouldn't need food to solve my feelings. Or here's one that really hurts. I shouldn't weigh this much. Ugh. Why do we do this to ourselves? So actually, for a really good reason. So first of all, having the shoulds in our brain is really normal for a lot of reasons. Let's explore. So first of all, society tells us all the time that we should be different. Basically, every single commercial is telling you, you should be different than who you are now. And if you were just like whatever the people are in this commercial, or if you just buy whatever product it is, then you would be better. Your life would be better. You would be happier. But, you know, you should be different in some way. Or you should buy my products so that you would be happier, more beautiful, whatever. So society tells us that. It's pervasive. It's like in the water. Not only that, but from a really young age, we get messaging from our parents and teachers or authority figures in our lives that we should do XYZ. You should share. You should tell the truth. You should eat all of your vegetables, you know, at dinner time. You should clean your plate. There was a fun one. And so there's so many different things that we learn when, you know, from a really early age that we learn these things. And that's just the sort of the easy stuff. there's some deeper things that not everybody has gotten, but sometimes we get deeper messages that kind of cut, that kind of hurt, like, you should do better. You should be better. You should do less of that. Why can't you be more like your sister? Things like that. But even if we don't get those overt, painful messages from our parents, our innate, natural tendency to compare ourselves to other humans means that we are always, always looking at others and sizing them up and comparing ourselves to them to see how we don't measure up. Because it is baked into our DNA as human beings to compare ourselves to others. That was a survival technique back in the days of the tribe, because if I didn't fit in with the tribe, I was going to die. That was like a death sentence. And so I'm always comparing myself to Sally to see, like, am I, you know, can I run as fast as Sally? You know, am I going to fit in with the tribe with her? Do I look as cute as she does? Because we're always trying to fit in with the tribe. And if we don't, well, we got to fix that. And how do you fix it? With a should, right? And so that is part of the reason why it is so normal that we have these voices of the shoulds in our brain. But there's a little bit more to it. There's something a little deeper to a should, because the should is on the surface. But another thought underneath that should is, what if I fail? For example, like, what if I regain the weight? What if, you know, what would that mean about me? And maybe you even have lots of evidence that you can accomplish things in your life, but you still have this fear of, like, I should be doing more. I should be able to accomplish XYZ. And so we have this fear underneath of, like, what would it mean if I didn't? And we are afraid of what that would mean, because if I fail, what does that mean about me? And one of the reasons why our brains think about weight loss so differently than other goals is because it feels so personal. It is part of our identity, is part of how we are viewed in the world and how we view ourselves. It's what we make our weight mean about us as a person. And so the shoulds around weight loss can be so much more heavy and painful and intense, because our weight just, it matters more to us because it means something about us as a person. Now, it doesn't have to, but that's what our society has taught us to do. So here's an example. Like, if I try and write a book and I fail, that doesn't feel great. However, it's more of an action that I tried to do and it didn't work out. I might feel bad, I might feel disappointed, but it's kind of external to who I am as a human. Whereas if I try to lose weight and I fail, that just feels different, right? It's like my weight feels like who I am. It's an external representation of my failure. Like, everyone can see, it's out on display. And it can feel so public and so personal and so shameful. And so our brains kind of naturally get a little freaked out, or at least more freaked out than normal, when we try and lose weight versus going for other goals. And it's part of the normal survival wiring of your brain. You're not alone. You're not broken. It's just your brain being a brain. And so hopefully just knowing that hopefully can be a little bit of a relief of, like, of course my brain would offer me these thoughts and they would feel kind of scary and kind of guilty and kind of ugh, because those shoulds around trying to lose weight come with a lot of pressure, right? And so again, like, it makes sense. We have these shoulds and it makes sense why our brains do them. Nevertheless, they don't feel great and they kind of slow us down. In fact, they a lot slow us down. And just because your brain offers you these fear-based thoughts, you don't have to believe them as gospel truth. Just because you've got a should in your brain doesn't mean it is absolutely a fact. And you can do that by looking for evidence of areas where you have succeeded in other areas of your life and areas where you have done a thing that you thought you should do. And so even though the brain makes weight loss feel totally different and a completely different kind of goal, it's actually just like any other goal. Weight loss is a skill, just like learning to play the piano or learning to surf or what have you. It takes a lot of mistakes, just like learning the piano takes mistakes. You hit a bunch of wrong keys, right? Weight loss is the same. It takes a lot of mistakes and corrections and learning along the way. But it's a skill you can learn. But to do so, you're going to have to look at those shoulds, because the shoulds are holding you back. They are getting in your way of making progress. All right, sounds good, right? How do we do that? All right, so first of all, when you have a should, first you got to notice it. And that can be tricky because shoulds can be very, very, they're very in like our beliefs, and they just seem so true and so basic. And so just ask questions. Whenever you've got something that's feeling that kind of feels a little guilty of like, it feels a little icky, just question, is there a should in there somewhere? But I want you to notice it and don't necessarily fight it. Ask it some questions. So let's say you have a should that says like, I should be more present for my family. All right, notice it. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to push against it. Let's just look at it with more curiosity and say, instead of looking at it as this negative thing, how might this should thought be a benevolent messenger? It's your inner self trying to protect you from something. So if you can try and get in touch with that should, with that fear that's underneath it, and then maybe engage it in a dialogue. So let's say there's a should that says, I should be more engaged with my family. Ask that should a few questions. What are you protecting me from? What is your purpose here? So I should be more engaged with my family. What are you protecting me from? I don't know, maybe you're protecting me from my kids growing up and not having a relationship with them. Maybe you're protecting me from the judgment I have that I'm assuming other moms at preschool have about me because I have a job and I don't, come and volunteer in the kids' classroom. Maybe it's something like that. What are you protecting me from? The second question for this should thought is, what is your purpose here? I should be more present with my family. What's your purpose here? What purpose do you have for me? Well, maybe it's to, pay attention. What is the survival instinct that you have that you are helping me with? Then you can ask the should thought, what do you need in order to feel safe? So what would help me feel safe around the idea that I should be more present with my family? Well, maybe I need to identify what's underneath that. It's not necessarily being present with my family. It's perhaps having just those quality relationships that maybe I would feel safe if I felt like I had a really good connection with my kids. Maybe that's what helps me in my kind of my fear-based habit brain. Maybe that's what helps me feel a little bit more safe. And then you can ask that should thought, if you could give me a message, what would you like to tell me? So the should thought is saying, I should be more present with my family. If you could give me a message, what would you like to tell me? And maybe that message is, you're doing an amazing job. And you have a work outside the home that you love, and it's really fulfilling, and your family is learning from you. Your kids are learning that amazing work ethic from you. So you're doing A-okay. And when you do have time with them, connect and make that quality relationship, but you don't necessarily have to guilt yourself into the fact that you're spending time doing work outside the family that is productive and meaningful to you in a different way. Obviously, that's just an example. Maybe we could take another example of like, I should get up off the couch and exercise more. Okay, let's ask it some questions. What are you protecting me from? I should exercise more. Well, maybe you're protecting me from my fear of not being able to move the way I want to in the future. Maybe you're protecting me from the negative voice I have when I look in the mirror. What is your purpose here? I should get up and exercise more. What's your purpose here? Maybe my purpose is like I'm waving a flag in your face saying, I think it's important for you to take care of your body. Maybe that's your body saying, hey, I was made to move. It's okay. I'd like to get some action here. What does your survival habit brain need to feel safe when it's telling you I should be getting up and exercising more? What would help you feel safe? Well, maybe just a little bit of exercise. Maybe knowing that you are doing what you can. Maybe it's, again, identifying that underneath that I should get up and exercise is a deep fear and painful self-loathing. And like, maybe that's what you need to address to feel safe. And then ask that should thought, if you could give me a message, what would you like to tell me? So the should thought is saying, I should get up and exercise more. If you could give me a message, what would you like to tell me? Maybe that's your inner voice saying, I'd like to have a partnership with my body instead of a battle with my body. and maybe I think that exercise is the way to do it. And so just get curious. So that's part one, is when you have a should, number one, notice it. Number two, don't fight it. Ask it some questions. Look for some cracks in that thought. And that sounds amazing. You're like, that was cool, but maybe that just doesn't work for you. And that's okay. That's actually pretty normal. And here's where we're going to get a little interesting in the conversation here. We're going to bring in some voices of other people in our heads. So we're going to get kind of fun in here in our brains. So sometimes it can help to characterize this voice of the should, to depersonalize it. So in sciencey terms, when we have a thought in our brain that feels very true, we are very kind of connected and identified with it, that's called we are fused with the thought. And so the idea of characterizing this voice of the shoulds is to decouple, to defuse yourself from the thought. Because just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Just because you have a thought does not mean it's real. It's a thought. It's what brains do. We have thoughts, but you can question them. You can say, what else could be true? And it really makes it a lot easier to question those thoughts when you give it a character, when you realize that it's possibly someone else's voice. Because chances are you learned those shoulds from someone else. Now, I'm betting that the should voice sounds a lot like you in your head, but chances are you learned those expectations, those shoulds from somebody else. So whose voice is it? Is it your mom's voice? Your older sister? Dad? Grandma? That teacher in school who for some reason just never liked you? Depersonalize it. Put those shoulds, give that voice of the shoulds someone else's face. Get it out of your head and into a place where you can have a conversation with it instead of being fused with it. It's interesting. Once I had a client I was talking with, and she realized that the inner voice in her head was one that she learned back when she was in Catholic school as a young girl, and the should voice belonged to the nuns that would tolerate zero mistakes. And so it was interesting because I asked her, like, okay, this is so helpful that you realize where you learned these shoulds. You learned it when you were in grade school from the nuns who were very authoritarian, and she had this kind of fear of the nuns because they, zero tolerance for mistakes. And so I said, all right, now here you are as an adult. You are a grown woman. You've got grown kids. How would you talk to those nuns today? And she was like, I mean, I would still do what they tell me because they're in authority. That they're with, you do what the nuns say. And it's so fascinating when that happens, because sometimes we can characterize a voice and be like, oh, that's mom's voice, and I can talk back to that. Or that's my older sister's voice, and like I can tell her to shut it. Or I can tell her, like, that's not useful for me right now. But sometimes that voice of the shoulds feels really darn true. Like, yeah, I should get up and exercise, or I should lose 20 pounds. Like, that feels super true. Just like my client, who, when she was able to depersonalize that voice and recognize that it came from the nuns, she still wasn't able to contradict it. She wasn't able to see it from a different angle. And so here's step three, four, I've lost count. I think the third step was characterize it. Now the fourth step is when you have the thought that, like, it still seems super true even when I characterize it, when that happens, then you can bring in the voice of a hero. You can call upon a character. This is someone you can relate to, and they have the characteristics in your mind that would be able to talk back to this should voice. So it can be anyone. It can be someone you knew in your past. It could be Beyonce. It could be me. And what you do in those moments, when you're looking at those shoulds, like, and it's the nun's voice or it's, mom's voice, and you're like, okay, I can see that this is coming from somewhere else, but it still feels super true. Ask yourself, what would the hero say to my should voice right now? If I were to bring in Beyonce or Mother Teresa or me, what would that person say to that voice right now? And for the record, that's probably the first and only time that Beyonce and Mother Teresa and myself have been mentioned in the same sentence. But, hey, there's a first for everything. Moving on, let's pretend it's me. So you bring Lizzie into the room inside your head, and you let Lizzie have a conversation with both you and that voice of the shoulds, whether it's mom, whether it's older sister, whomever. And both of you talk to me. And you're like, this should, this directive of what I should do feels super true. Imagine, what do you think I would tell you? What do you think I would tell that voice of mom who's saying, you should get up off the couch and be productive? What would I say? What would your hero voice say? What questions would your hero ask that guilt, that should voice of mom that's saying you should get up off the couch and be productive? What else could be true other than this voice of the shoulds? So when you don't have the words, what would your hero do? What would your hero say? What would your hero ask? What would this person want you to know? Because I think a lot of times we get really stuck in what it's supposed to be like when we're just supposed to change our thoughts and we think everything is going to be lovely and it's going to be fine. But sometimes you need a little bit of help, and that's okay. Speaking of things being okay, something to know about shoulds is shoulds are a lot like weeds in a lot of ways. For example, they're super normal. It's so natural for them to pop up. Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing has gone wrong when you have them. Everyone has should voices in their heads. As we said before, there's a good reason why the should voice has evolved over time. It's baked into our DNA. It's normal. But another thing that makes shoulds kind of like weeds is sort of like, as soon as you start to look for them, it's like, wow, there's three more that I didn't even notice yesterday. Where was that even from? Like, it's, I thought I addressed this, and now I've got three new ones. That's normal too. And if you're anything like me, I find that I might look for a should, I see it, I confront it, and I move on, and I'm like, I got this. And then like a week or a couple months later, I'm talking to my coach, and she gently points out that I'm buying into that same should belief again. And I'm like, dang it, I didn't even see that. How did I even not know? And what's really interesting is like, now I'm judging myself for not seeing the should. And oops, there's another should. So weeds are sneaky. Shoulds are sneaky. It's okay. Try and treat it playfully. Try and almost treat it like a game, because the more we stay open and keep a curious mindset, the more we're able to learn. And the more we have a judgmental, shame-based mindset, the more that shuts us down and just makes us want to hide, and we don't make any progress, which is kind of the whole point of the shoulds anyway, because that makes us feel shut down and that we are kind of bad or wrong. And I want you to open things up. I want you to treat it lightly like a game. And so remember, shoulds are like weeds. Nothing has gone wrong. You pull them up, you notice them, you move on. And when another one pops up, you're like, oops, look, there it is. It happens. I was expecting it. Here we go. So I want you to remember, you are human, so gorgeously, beautifully, imperfectly human. And you are a piece of the divine and completely worthy exactly as you are. And you probably want to live well into old age. You want to feel great, feel strong and active, and you've got these beautiful goals. And I want that for you too. But when you've got those should voices holding you back, it can be scary. So I have an important question for you. Let me ask you this. 20 years from now, looking back, would you rather have tried and not met your goal, but learned something about yourself in the process? Or guaranteed your failure by not ever really trying? What's scarier, trying and failing, or staying exactly in the same place forever? And I want you to know, this is a genuine question. Any answer is okay. Because our brain's number one priority is to keep us safe. And it feels really safe to not do anything. It feels really safe to stay where we are. And trying something, looking at that should and addressing it and questioning it, can feel scary because of the fear that's underneath. Going for something, especially something that is personal and as identity, woo, that was tough to say. Something as personal and identity defining, yeah, I got it, as weight loss, it can feel scary. So scary to the survival brain. So fearing that failure, fearing that, what if I try and fail? That's a real thing. And it takes a lot of courage to look at it from a different lens and realize that the bigger fear is staying in the same place. I have a lot of respect for you for looking at that. So the shoulds are slowing you down. They're like trying to run through water that is knee high. You are just going slower and it is holding you back. But you have the ability to turn around your thoughts. Remember, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. You have the creativity to bring in a different voice that helps you move forward versus slowing you down. You can be the hero of your own story. How? Start where you're at. Let's say you have a goal to lose 20 pounds. You have a goal to go kayaking. You have a goal to be vibrant and active for your grandkids. That's amazing and scary. It's okay. So right now you are scared of what it will mean if you try and fail. And so much so that you're listening to the whispers of the shoulds and taking them as truths. And you find yourself trying to avoid that failure because of what it would mean about you. And it's okay. It's normal. But what could you gain from doing scary things? What if looking at that should talk, that should voice, is just one step towards achieving your goals? What could you learn from questioning that should? Borrow my belief in you. I know you can do this. Just question those shoulds, one thought at a time. Okay, so are you ready for our tiny confident body action step to put into practice this week? I thought so. Here we go. Number one, what is one thing you are shoulding yourself for? So I should exercise more. I should quit eating late at night. I should be more productive. There's ample examples. Just pick one, just one. So pick a should thought. Number two, whose voice is it? So where did this should come from? Is it like, it sounds like you, but like, if you look a little deeper, is it mom? Is it, you know, the nuns from Catholic school? Whose voice is telling you, you should be more productive? You should quit eating late at night. Who is telling you that? See if you can make that voice in your head a person or a character that is not you. Step three, talk to it. Ask it some questions. For example, what are you protecting me from? What is your purpose here? What do you need in order to feel safe? And if you had a message for me, what would you want me to know? And then step four, if you're having a hard time figuring out how to talk back to that should voice, then bring in the voice of a hero. Who is someone you admire? And what would they say to that voice who is shoulding on you? All right, so you got those four steps. Number one, what's a should thought that you have in your brain? Number two, whose voice is it? Number three, talk to it, ask it some questions. And number four, if talking back to it is a little tough, bring in the voice of a hero. So that is what I've got for you today. It has been amazing to talk to you about the shoulds. This really comes up a lot in my coaching, so I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk about it. If there is anything in this episode that's helped you, I would love it if you would write a review on iTunes. That would be fantastic. And your review might help somebody else feel a little less alone and help her shine her light a little brighter. And remember, my favorite part of every episode, remember to love yourself because you should. See what I did there? All right, that's what I got for you this week. I will see you next time. What? You made it to the end of the episode? Huzzah! You may have heard me say that my favorite part of every episode is the part about love yourself because. Why? Because loving yourself is the whole game, baby! So I decided to make an ebook out of my 52 favorite Love Yourself Because reminders. I had so much fun making this ebook. It's pretty, it's cheesy, and it doesn't even take up any space on your coffee table because it lives in your computer. Win-win, right? So head on over to confidentbody.coach/tips and enter your email to download your copy of the ebook, Love Yourself Because, 52 reminders of what it's all about. And in the meantime, remember, you are a miracle. So get out there and shine your light, baby.